So I wanted to start out with a question today, is that if you stop and you think about it, what is your philosophy of life? Like, you know, like, how do you want to live your life? You know, I don't know how often we think about that. Like, you know, what am I trying to do with my life? What am I trying to achieve with my life? What makes a day a good day and another day a bad day? Now, I think that if we think about it, you know, we may assign kind of different philosophies if we actually kind of stop and say, well, this is what I want to do or don't want to do. But I think fundamentally, our philosophies of life kind of fall into one of three categories. It is either rewind, pause, or fast forward. Right? What is a rewind philosophy? A rewind philosophy is, you know what? I like things the way they used to be. I wish it would just be like it used to be. A pause philosophy is, you know what? Things are good right now. Can things just stay the way they are? I feel like I've made all the change I want to make in my life. Can we just keep it the way it is? And then there's the fast forward philosophy. Right, I want to go forward, right? I want to engage in the future. I want to help shape the future. I want to be part of the future. That those are our three choices. Now, as you look at that, it feels like one's kind of missing, right? If we're kind of using a videotape metaphor or a streaming metaphor, besides rewind, pause, and fast forward, what's the other button we push a lot? Play. But I don't have play listed here. Well, because I think play is not really a philosophy in this metaphor. Play is, well, I just push the button and whatever happens, happens. And I think that if we don't choose one of these three philosophies, if we're not conscious about it and we just kind of live on play, what ends up happening is that we ultimately still end up living in one of these philosophies, we just don't choose it. Because I think that's a real issue in our lives, that unless we are conscious about what we want to do, unless we are conscious about the things we want to see happen in our lives, unless we are conscious about the things we want to do as a church, we're still going to fall into one of these buckets. So I don't think play is really an option. So what I want to do throughout this series is kind of look at each of these options of rewind, pause, or fast forward. And today I want to start with rewind. And the reason I want to start there is that I think that rewind is the one that we are most likely to fall into if we don't make a choice about what we want to do things. Because no matter how old we are, at some point we will have a tendency to look back on our past days as being better. You know, of course, as we kind of get later in life, we can kind of look back at all those things. But, you know, even a high schooler who's feeling kind of out of place in high school can look back on middle school and say, wow, it was easier when I was in middle school. And certainly if you go off to college, you go off to a job, you can look back at high school as being better than the things you're dealing with now, or being things that were more in your control or things that were more familiar. So this danger of falling in the rewind or a rewind mindset is true for all of us. You know, because I think that there is a fundamental issue that hits us in our lives, is that our present lives are challenging, right? All of us have challenges in our lives. I know several of you have really big challenges in our lives, or in your lives. And we start to feel overwhelmed. And we start telling ourselves that, you know, man, if things could just be like they used to be, that would be great. Because things were so much better back then. But the thing is that was your past life actually all that much better than this life? Now, you know, again, I know some of you are in kind of very deep medical crises, and those sort of things are kind of big things. But from an overall standpoint, was your life actually better before? Were there fewer challenges before? I mean, life is more complicated now. That's certainly true. But I think we have this tendency sometimes to look back on the past and focus kind of just on the good stuff. And there's kind of an interesting thing about the past versus the present. In the present, you're hitting challenges, and you're not sure how you're going to do against them. How did you do against all the challenges in your past? You survived. You're still here. And so there's this idea that, well, I survived those, so I know how to do those ones. These new ones, I'm not so sure about. And so we start to lift up the past. But that idea of lifting up the past and seeing the past as all good is not the only way we can hang on to the past. For some of us, our pasts are very different than that. Right? For some of us, our pasts are filled with pain and hurt. And for some of us, they're filled with guilt about the wrongs we've done. And for some of us, that pain of our past, that guilt from our past, actually holds on to us. And in that case, more than us holding on to the past, we're allowing the past to hold on to us. So in the case of kind of seeing the past as really good, we're kind of looking back saying, I want to go back there. For the person who carries a past that's filled with pain that they can't break free from, in that case, it's a past they can't seem to leave. They don't seem to be able to move forward. And the thing that I want us to really kind of to grab onto today is that none of us need to be in rewind, right? None of us need to be looking back at our lives, because your past life is kind of like your present life. You had good times and you had bad times. You had joy and you had pain. And so you bring those memories with you, and you learn from those memories to hopefully live today more fully than the past. Because I think that life has so much more for us if we can take our eyes off of the past, not just focus on the past all the time. And I think the thing is that God has a plan for us. God has a plan for you that you can only live in fully if you will take your eyes off the past. Because here's something I know about you absolutely. God's plan for you is not in the past. God's plan for you is in the future. So if you're looking anywhere except forward, you're not looking at the plan God has for you. And you're going to miss it. So what I wanted to do as we talk about this issue is talk about a little bit of the narrative of the Old Testament prophet Abraham. And we'll talk about Abraham, and I want to talk a little bit about Lot. Now, Abraham's kind of interesting because he's kind of the biblical forefather, right? He's not the first person we meet in the book of Genesis, but we meet him really early. And we spend a lot of time with him in the book of Genesis. And Abraham's kind of interesting because God makes him this amazing promise. God says, follow the path and plan I have for you, and I will bless all the people of the world through you. And we actually know that that actually comes to be, because Abraham, his descendants descend through the nation of Israel all the way through, who's his most famous descendant? Jesus. That Jesus descends from Abraham. And Jesus is the one who is the true blessing of the world, right? The one who gives us true freedom. That when we put our faith in Jesus, we can break free from whatever has a hold of us. So God made that promise to Abraham, but in order for Abraham to do that, he had to go forward. And one of the reasons that I like Abraham so much is that he carries this incredible promise from God with him. And ultimately, so much good happens from him. But he's a guy who gets things wrong all the time. If you read through the narrative of Abraham, man, he's tripping up and stumbling and making really bad choices. But God stays with him through it. God actually keeps that promise to carry him forward. And so what I want you to hear today is that God's plan for you is not tied to you living your life perfectly. It is simply being willing to let go of the past and walk out that path in front of you to pursue the plan God has for you. And one of the things I find really interesting is that when we first meet Abraham, and we meet him at the very end of Genesis chapter 11, but his story really kind of starts in Genesis chapter 12, that God makes this amazing promise to him, and he actually starts getting things wrong right off the bat. He starts kind of going the wrong way a little bit right off the bat. Now, one of the things that's a little bit confusing sometimes, that as we read about Abraham, His name changes partway through the story. Ultimately, he's known as Abraham, but initially his name was Abram. So as we kind of start with this, we're looking at him as the name Abram. And this is what the narrative tells us. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." Now, notice what Abraham is told here. To leave and to go. Right? To leave and to go. Right? To leave the place where he's currently living. The place that he would have spent years of his life. But also, he's not just told to leave a place. He's also told to leave some things behind. He's told to leave his relatives behind. His family behind. He's told to leave there and go somewhere else. That in order to find the promise and to live out the promise that God has for him, he has to go somewhere. Where is that somewhere? He doesn't know. So when you're following what you believe is God's plan for your life and you feel totally lost and you don't know where you're going, congratulations, you're probably on the right path. Because that's kind of how it works. That it's trusting in the journey, to trust that the journey is the thing that grows us into the promise, to find that promise. But it's interesting now is that as he goes out, these verses capture for us this idea of being drawn into rewind. Because what he has to leave, right, a place where he's lived for years, that's going to give him comfort. Right, in that time frame, remember, this is literally thousands of years ago, right, thousands of years before Jesus. Your community, your safety, your comfort was the family clan. And so he's not just being asked to leave a place. He's being asked to leave the family clan, that place that would have been his comfort and safety. And if he was to try to hold on to that, he could have had comfort in the moment, but he would have stepped away from the plan. And that's the thing that I think that we need to be willing to do, is to step out of the comfort of the moment, to stop holding on to the past, to not wish for the past, not let the past hold on to us, but step out and discover what God has for us. Because again, I want to say this again, whatever God has for you is in the future. It is not in the past. So if we're not willing to step forward, if we're not willing to move into the future, we're never going to find it. And this is true for any aspect of our lives, right? In our relationships, we should be moving together into the future. Right? In our professional lives, we need to be thinking about the future, the way things work in the future, what we need to do going into the future. And certainly in our faith lives, this is essential, right? This is the core of living out our faith lives, is this willingness to go out and move into the future, to move towards the unknown, to do what God has for us. But it turns out that Abram actually struggles with this, because Abram struggles with this idea of letting go. Because notice what he takes with him. It says, Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So what did Abram bring with him? Everything. Everything. It wasn't like it says, you know what, Abram headed out, and there were these kind of few special possessions that were really important to him, so he packed those up. It says that he took all the possessions that they had accumulated. He wasn't leaving anything behind. Sure, you know, I'll leave kind of, you know, the place behind, but I'm taking all the stuff with me. Well, when we keep focusing on our past, if we let the pains of the past define our current lives, we might be leaving the place, but we're taking all the stuff with us. And notice that not only does he take all of his stuff with him, he brings Lot. Now, who is Lot to Abraham? Do you know? It's his brother's son. So it's not just his nephew. It's his brother, as in they have the same father, son. Well, what else is he told to leave behind? His father's family. So for whatever reason, and there's a lot of speculation on why, but for whatever reason, he brought Lot, part of his father's family, with him that he was told to leave behind. And he brought all his possessions behind. And he brought all, excuse me, he brought all his possessions with him. And he brought all of his servants with him. And all of his workers with him. Fortunately, he also brought his wife with him, because he'd probably been, you know, lost and aimless without his wife, of course, right? But of course, that's the kind of that's the one thing he should have brought, right? Of course, he should bring his wife with him, but he's bringing all this other stuff with him. And of course, what happens? Because if you try to bring all the baggage from your past with you, how well are you going to travel? Right? Those things that you believe are going to give you comfort will rapidly become a burden. They will rapidly become the source of your pain. And that's what actually happens with April. This attempt to bring everything with him ultimately catches up with him. Because it says, now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great, they were not able to stay together. And now it's just kind of interesting. They got lots of stuff. That should be wonderful, right? But quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. Abram is being weighed down by his past. I mean, he might be making a little bit of progress, but he's certainly not traveling at the rate that he could travel. He's not light of foot. He can't maneuver. He can't keep moving. Think about what this crowd is like. With a crew of people like they have, whenever they want to start moving, how long does it take them to even pack up to begin moving? And then once they're moving, how fast can they move? And when they want to stop, how long does it take to stop and pack up? It's almost like they would break it all down, take four steps, and set it all back up again. But that's what happens in our lives. Because all those things, whether we are looking back on the past going, wow, it was just so much better then, means we're not focusing on what's in front of us. Or if we're carrying the pain of our past, we're just kind of saying, I'm not worthy for more. And we're stuck. When we live in rewind, because that's what we're doing, when we're bringing the past with us, when we're focusing on the past, when we live in rewind, what ends up happening is our present experiences are crowded out by our past experiences. Right? If we keep longing for the old days, we just don't engage with the present. In fact, what ends up happening that if we are carrying our past with us, we are carrying our pain with us, and we are carrying wishes that we could just go back with us, you know what happens? We stop building new stories with our lives. What happens is we just keep telling the same old stories over and over again because we're not building any new stories. Because the only way to build new stories with our lives is to go forward, to engage new things, to reach out, to be willing to create new stories by living our lives more expansively and in new ways and engaging with new people and doing new things. If we hold on to our past, we are just choosing to be stuck. We are choosing not to go forward. And Abram finally realizes that. Abram finally comes to the realization that I can't live out the promise that God has for me if I keep trying to bring all of this with me. And so finally he says, you know what, to Lot, we got to separate. You need to go your way, and I'm going to go my way. And so the narrative tells us that Abram lived in the land of Canaan. In other words, he kind of stayed on the path he was on, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. I'm going to read that again. Sorry. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. So now, we've been focusing on Abram, but I want to actually take a step and kind of watch what's happening in Lot's life for a minute. Because Lot shows us something else that's really important. Right? Because this idea of not living in rewind. If we're living in rewind, it means we're looking behind us all the time rather than looking where we're going. Well, Lot shows us that there are other ways to get off the path. In Lot's case, rather than looking at where he should be heading, he starts looking around, finding things that are kind of shiny, kind of different. I ain't seen stuff like that before. And it tells us that he pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, if you know the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know that it would have been a place unlike anything he'd ever seen. Right? It was probably a very party culture. It was very hedonistic. We know that there are actually a very cruel people. And so what Lot says is that, wow, that's kind of new. Let me go check that out. But notice that Lot doesn't move straight into Sodom. What does he do? He pitches his tent near Sodom. In other words, you know what? I'm just going to go take a look. I'm not going to really go in. I'm just going to check it out for a minute. I'm going to keep a safe distance. I'm not going to walk into that crazy city. I just want to see what it looks like from the outside. The thing is that eventually Lot does move in. And Lot does become part of that city. And that city becomes part of his life. That although he had the best intentions of just going over to take a look, ultimately, he got pulled into it. That thing he thought he could actually control ultimately took control of him. And this is something that I think we all have to be on guard for. Because even if we're making progress, even if we're following the path God has for us, it is very easy to be distracted by things around us. That things we know aren't good for us, things we know we should stay away from. But, you know, I'm just gonna check it out for a minute. You know, I'm not going to go in. I'll just pitch my tent just outside so I can see. I won't go in there. But for most of us, the likelihood of once we start to explore something we know is not healthy for us, the likelihood of staying on the outside of it is incredibly low. I mean, how many people start out saying, you know, it was a hard day at work today, so I'm just going to have a drink tonight to relax. And then we do it again. And before long, we're having multiple drinks every night just to relax. And then it's the weekend, so why should I wait until the evening? I mean, I don't really have anything to do today. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I could do that. And to be clear, I am not condemning anyone. I've told you before, my past is filled with all the mistakes you can think of. But we have to recognize that the easiest way to break free from those things is to not start them in the first place. You know, and we can also do things that seem like they're okay at first, and in and of themselves, they are okay. You know, people go through times in their lives where they're very anxious and uptight, and the doctor gives you something to help you get through those hard days. But before long, every day is a hard day, and every day needs a little help. You know, kind of a major issue among Christian men is pornography. Do you know multiple studies performed by Christian organizations indicate that 2 out of 3 Christian men, so Christian studies, 2 out of 3 Christian men engage in pornography at least once a month. And it's also a growing problem among women as well. And you know how that starts. You know, I don't look at dirty magazines, I don't do that sort of thing, but you know, I've heard so much about that site. There's all this fuss about it. I just want to check it out and see what the story is over there. And before long, it becomes part of our lives. And there's all kinds of things that can do this. I'm just kind of picking out the ones that kind of flare up, right? But there are so many things that we can start to try to engage with that grab a hold of us and pull us off the track. And they start to dictate our lives. And before we know it, we're hiding what we're doing, right? We're lying to the people in our lives that we care about because we don't want them to know what we're doing. That thing we thought we could just check out and step away now becomes something that we can't move on past from. And this is ultimately what happens with Lot. That Lot moves into the city, and he actually builds a life inside that city. We know that he ultimately gets married. He has 2 daughters. And he lives there long enough for those daughters to grow up and themselves get married. Now, as the narrative of Sodom tells us, though, is that as things are going on, that city is kind of becomes more wicked, more hedonist, more cruel. And so finally, the narrative tells us that God decides to destroy the city, but decides to save Lot and his family. So the narrative says that God sends these 2 angels in to go to Lot and his family and try to get them to come out. Basically, the angels tell the whole story, that the whole city is going to be destroyed. I just need you to come with me before that happens. And what does Lot say? oh, I don't know. Can't we just stick around here? I mean, think about that. The angels are like, this is the path of destruction. Get off of it. I don't know. Kind of like it here. But before we're too quick to judge Lot, how many of us, how many people we care about, are clearly on a path of destruction? And when someone says, maybe we could get off this path, I don't know, it's okay. Right, again, I'm not putting any of us down. I'm simply saying that these are the things that we need to be on guard for, that we can be on a path of destruction and be as blind as Lot was. So now as the angels keep talking to Lot, he keeps waffling, he keeps trying to barter with them. Well, what about this? Can we do that? And so finally, the angels literally grab Lot and his wife and the kids by the hand and basically kind of lead them out of the city. And what it tells us then is that as soon as the angels brought them out, one of the angels said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. Lot was in this place where, even though he was living in dysfunction, that dysfunctional world that he lived in had become his comfort. And that is far easier to happen in our lives than we think. That we can live in all kinds of dysfunction, right? Sometimes they're chemical, right? Sometimes they're attitudes, right? Sometimes they're dysfunctional relationships, that we can become connected into a dysfunctional relationship, believing that that is our comfort. And we don't want to leave. We just don't want to leave it behind. So in the case of Lot and his family, the angels have said, you know, basically, run from all this and don't look back. And what does that show us? You know, in the case of Abram, when he was kind of looking behind him, he was looking back at something where he'd found comfort in terms of his family, in terms of his relationships, in terms of good things. And it was just hard to move on. But Lot shows us the other side of that. Lot is now looking back at that broken, dysfunctional life. That he has now created his own version of living in rewind, looking behind him. Even though those things are terrible, and there was no way his life was a good life. But he's just longing to have it back. And in fact, as the narrative goes on, Lot's not the only one who's longing to have that life back. Because you've probably heard this, but it says, but Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And the thing that's kind of interesting is that this is obviously not written in English, it's written in Hebrew. And the word that's translated into looking back actually means looking back with longing. That she looks back on it and goes, I want that again. I don't want to leave that there. I want to hold on to that. And that's, again, where we've got to be on guard. That in Lot's wife's case, she literally lost her life. But for all of us, if we have dysfunction in our lives that we won't move on from, we're losing the life we could have. You know, we'll never do the things that we could do. We'll never have the relationships that we could have if we were healthy. And we certainly will not be able to live out God's plan for our life if we're allowing ourselves to be controlled by all these things. And we know for Lot, it doesn't really go much better. Lot, you know, kind of runs off into the mountains. He and his daughters have this incredibly dysfunctional life, that they live in a cave for a while. And for the most part, they're living in fear. And we never really hear about Lot again after this. Is that he never really gets on a path of living out the life he could have. My friends, the thing that I want to encourage us to keep in mind is that our habits, even if they're good habits sometimes, can quickly own us. You know, if our habits are, even if it's something completely innocuous, but we spend money we don't have in order to do it, well, that's going to create problems. Right? It's going to tear up our relationships. It's going to limit our lives. And certainly, if we look around, we live in a time where dysfunctional, unhealthy habits are at, as far as I know, an all-time high, right? That excessive alcohol consumption is continually growing, particularly this side of the pandemic, right? Self-medicating and misusing prescriptions is a thing that's super, super common. You know, and I talked about the issue with pornography. You know, people that we would never expect, because that person wouldn't do something like that. We'd all do something like something, given the opportunity, particularly believing we can get away with it. And we need to be on guard for that, and we need to have things in our lives to not let that happen. And if you're finding yourself in a place like that, to get help for that, right? That there are groups for all these things, right? For medication, for alcohol, for pornography. There are 12-step groups for all of those things with tremendously positive success rates. And so if you're trapped in one of those places, know you are not alone. And the thing is, the way to be alone is to not go get the help. The freedom is found in getting the help. Because whatever you are struggling with, whatever you are holding on to, whatever has a hold on you, the thing to do is to take the advice of the angels, right? Flee for your life and don't look back. Get the help that you need. Because just like Lot, we can become so comfortable in our dysfunction that we never live out the life we could have. Right? Living in that kind of dysfunction keeps us from living the life that God has for us. And it will keep you from fulfilling the call that God has planned for you. And the thing is that we can be very easily kind of tripped up into this attitude of, I'm not hurting anybody. You know, I'm doing this for myself. If I want to drink too much or party too much or porn too much, which any at all is too much, just to be clear on that last one, right? That I want to do those things, I'm not hurting anybody. But here's the thing. You were called by God to do something. And if you don't do it, it's possible that no one else will. And so if you don't do it, if you don't step into a need that you were called to fill, the person who has that need may not be found by anyone. And so when we choose to live our lives in such a way that we're saying, I'm not hurting anybody, but you know what? We're not helping anybody either. And someone is counting on you to help them. There is someone in your life who needs you to be present. There is someone in a ministry that you would fulfill that needs support. And when we choose to do things that keep us from fulfilling the ministries that God has planned for us, there is roadkill left behind when we don't show up. So it's important that we follow the path that God has for us. Again, I'm not talking about perfect lives. I'm not saying that we can never make any mistakes. I'm simply saying, don't let yourself, and I don't let myself, get pulled off track by things that don't really add anything to my life and prevent me from being a positive part of other people's lives. Because our life doesn't have to be like Lot's. Remember that we started out talking about somebody else, Abram, right? And Abram shows us some really important things. Is that Abram shows us that the plan God has for your life remains possible. We just have to be willing to move on, right? We need to be willing to not kind of overemphasize the past, right? We need to be willing to move on from our addictions, from our dysfunctions. But if we will move on from those things, we can get back on the journey, right? That path that God has planned for you, that path that you are walking on, that path maybe you haven't even gotten onto yet, it remains there for you. Because remember that for Abram, as he tried to bring his past with him, it created all this turmoil and stress. But then finally, he let go of that. He split from his past. He let go of his past. And once he did that, it changed everything. It tells us that the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Abram had gotten off track. He'd gotten bogged down by carrying his past with him. But as soon as he was willing to do the work, to let go of that past, I mean, that must have been an incredibly difficult conversation that he had with Lot. But he had that conversation. And he unburdened himself from the past. And once he did that, he could again focus forward. He could again focus on the path that God had for him. He could stop carrying things from his past, and the promises of God became clear. And the promises of God in Abraham's life do come to fruition. Right? You get Abraham down to Isaac, down to Jacob, to the 12 tribes of Israel, to the tribe of Judah. Judah, where Jesus is born. All of that descends from Abram being willing to let go of his past and fulfill the path that God has for his life. And so what I want to ask each of you to do, and what I want to try to remind myself, is that the invitation that God gave to Abram is a very similar invitation to what he has for you, what he has for me. Leave the things of your past behind and go to the place I will show you. That is always the invitation, to leave the things of the past behind and go to where I will show you. Because God's plan for your life is real, it is personal, it is specifically yours, and the only place you will find it is in the future. As long as we look back, we're never going to see it. But as soon as we can free up and go forward, we will find what God has for us, and we will be part of doing the incredible things He invites us into.